welcome to A's and Nays on Hard Facts. Every Thursday we talk about issues that have to do with our laws, our legislations, and how they play out, you know, and how it affects us on a daily basis. And today we're going back to the issue of budgeting. Yes, we hear recently that there have been a lot of distortions in the 2024 budget. We're also hearing that debt servicing might be the death of us. And we're also hearing that one way or the other, all of these things will play a role in the economy. And the economy in itself, as we speak, is facing such a huge downturn, such that Mr. President has decided to put together a panel of bigwigs, millionaires, and people who, captains of industries, to see if we can get ourselves dug out of this, quagmire that we find ourselves in economically. My guest is one that has been here before, breaking down stuff to us like we were children, because we need to understand to be able to have these conversations on a larger scale. He's joining us via Zoom this afternoon. It's always a pleasure to have Eni join us on the show to talk about budgets, because I like when we talk about numbers. I like when we break everything down in terms of what is going in and what is going out. Inyo Bong Sen is the head research and policy advisory budget. Inyo Bong, I got your name today correctly. It's time to clap for me. It's good to have you join us on the show. It's so good to have you join us.
Yeah, good evening, and thanks for having me.
Great. Let's start yes, I can hear you very well, loud and clear. Let's start by looking at the, issue of, I know that Sheriff talked about this extensively yesterday, but I want us to touch lightly on the issue of debt servicing and how this could become a problem, not just for us in Nigeria, because there are several other African countries that are in this category who seem to be having the issue of debt servicing gulping up more of their budget than anything else. Let's start with that. Paint a picture for my audience to understand why this might be a problem.
Okay, yeah, thanks once more. So I will take it from the angle of the budget. So, I mean, like every individual, a country, right, establishes a development plan. This is where I am. Where do I hope to be? I want to be able to have an educated populace. I want to be able to provide adequate infrastructure for citizens. I want to be able to have businesses thrive based on, existing infrastructure in the country to support those businesses based on government policies generally. And so government spends. It spends in creating infrastructure. It spends on, providing healthcare, providing education, providing water, providing security. And usually a government only spends what it has. What it has is what it generates as revenue, primarily through your taxes or through grants, whether it's from donor agencies, and then through borrowing. A government borrows when its expenditure is more than what it has the capacity to raise as revenue, which results in a deficit. So that portion of its expenditure that it cannot meet with its revenue, it's what it borrows to finance. Now, is borrowing a bad thing? No. Especially for developing countries like Nigeria. Developing countries or underdeveloped countries, right, embark on projects that are social overhead capital in nature. What do I mean by social overhead capital? They are projects that are embarked on not for the purpose of profitability generally or necessary, but because they contribute to overall social welfare. And so for a country like Nigeria that has a huge infrastructure deficit, that has a huge housing deficit, that has a lot of children who are out of school, that, has a large portion of its population, not provided with energy. It needs to provide, these amenities, these basic infrastructure at, you know, a cost that is affordable to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so it acquires, you know, this capital, you know, that sometimes, you know, require, you know, you require a large amount of it upfront. There's a large gestation period for you to be able to pay back this capital after you've been able to improve the lives and livelihoods of your citizens over time, and then they can begin to pay, you know, pay back in terms of taxes, you know, and the businesses equally. Now, when borrowing becomes a problem is when you have acquired these loans for the purpose of improving infrastructure, for the purpose of providing quality healthcare, providing, you know, quality education, and in one way or the other, these resources, right, have been captured, you know, by some persons by virtue of the positions they hold, you know, and then the country is not getting value for money, and the value it was supposed to deliver over the long term, so that people, you know, are able to pay back these loans through taxes over the long term, is not achieved. And so Nigeria finds itself in a situation where it continuously borrows, you know, to, in quote, provide, you know, very, very necessary infrastructure that should stand the test of time, but that is not happening. And so economic activities that should have been stimulated over time, right, for you to have a productive economy, for you to be able to raise these revenues to pay back these loans, are not happening. And so whilst you have, you know, institutions like the Bretton Woods institutions, the IMF or the World Bank, saying that for the size of your economy, your debt is still relatively low.
Mm.
But the truth is, you do not pay back loans with your GDP. You pay back loans with revenue available to you. And so if you're not able to mobilize enough revenue to now pay back or to, you know, service these loans as the case may be, then it becomes a problem.
Mm.
Sometime in 2020, 2021, our debt service cost was, at some point during the year, was more than, you know, what we were able to raise within that period. Meaning that to be able to, you know, meet those debt obligations, which are the interest on the loans that we have collected,
mm-hmm.
we had to borrow to be able to meet up with those obligations so that we don't default on those obligations. And so that's why in a case, in Nigeria's case, even if we have a relatively, you know, low debt to GDP ratio comparable to developed countries, our debt service to revenue ratio, it's very high. And, you know, if not properly addressed, it can become unsustainable and a very serious source of worry for the country.
I like how you said a few things that made me very interested, and I underlined it in my brain. Quickly before I ask that question, we're having issues with your bandwidth. It's going on and off, but we can still hear you. It's just your video is distorted. You made mention, most importantly, the fact that when these monies are borrowed and then being put to use, before you now pay back those monies, there has to be proof that you have bettered the lot of your people, because this is the reason why anybody should go a borrowing, because you want to better the lot of your people, the economy, blah, blah, blah. But in Nigeria's case, that's never really the situation. Sometimes these monies are borrowed to fund stuff that do not necessarily better our lot. Could that also be part of the problem? Again, now that you've placed emphasis, or rather explained to us that if we do not, you know, deal with how bad these debts have become, then it might become a bigger problem in the future. But which future are we talking about? Are we not already in that future? Has it not become a problem so much so that the IMF is, you know, calling us out?
Yeah, I mean, a philosopher would tell you that in the long run, we are all dead. And so, you know, the short term is as important as the medium term and the long run. And yes, the utilization of this loan over time, right, is what has brought us to where we are. We find ourselves in a situation where we have borrowed huge sums of money to finance inefficient state-owned enterprises. if you look at the amount of money that has gone into, the turnaround of refineries, the refurbishment of refineries over the last 10 years alone, right?
Mm.
You ask yourself, if this was somebody's personal money, like if this was your personal finance,
mm-hmm.
would you continue to finance an activity, a project, a program that has given no value for money? Year in, year out, you have persons who work for these refineries. They collect huge salaries. They receive performance bonuses. Even if, over a long time, these refineries have not even refined a single barrel of crude.
Mm.
They buy themselves, official vehicles and all of that. And you ask yourself, as a country, with all the myriad of challenges that you are facing, is this the best use of very scarce resources that you have been able to find? And is this the best way to put it to use? Now, if you now even look at projects that even have been implemented, so you say you want to build a road, and that road, at the very minimum, maybe is supposed to last for 10 years before you start maintaining that road.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some roads they build in 3 months.
It's gone.
The entire road has broken down.
Yeah.
And then government starts spending money month in, month out, depending on how heavy, the rains are, when it's the raining season, to refurbish those roads or to maintain those roads. That is something that if the right thing was done with regards to constructing that road, you had no business over that the next couple of years, whether 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, depending on the quality of the road, you had no business, spending huge funds of government, on those roads, which for the most part is borrowed. Then if you come down to the subnationals, and it even happens at the federal government level, you have government investing borrow funds in what you call elephant projects, white elephant projects, mm-hmm. or phantom projects, as the case may be. Every time I drive into Abuja, I see the centenary city. And you see that structure over there.
Yes.
And you're asking yourself, what is wrong with us as a country?
Why did we even need that thing in the first place? What was the idea?
I mean, somebody feels that he has gotten a windfall from oil. I mean, oil prices rose to over $100 per barrel, and there was this huge inflow of revenue that they never planned for.
Mm.
And then you just look for the next phantom project to implement. You take Ebonyi State, for instance, built a very huge airport, invested very, very significant sums, largely, with funds borrowed. Until date, that airport is not in use. The infrastructure that has been developed would decay if it's not put into use, over a period of time. You drive along across the length and breadth of this country, and you see these white elephant projects replicating themselves across board. And you ask yourself, how do these governments intend to pay back these loans that were acquired to implement these projects with this level of mediocrity? There's no magic that would happen. You've just impoverished future generations without leaving them with the basic elements or the basic things they need to be able to survive, in that period when they would need to pay back these loans.
Mm.
I mean, it's a no-brainer that, if you look at the challenges faced by the country across different sectors, whether it's with education, whether it's with healthcare, whether it's with power, that the way we put resources to use doesn't suggest that we intend to develop, in the nearest, future, as the case may be. Because we spend as if we have unlimited resources at our disposal, and as if it will continue to, the revenues, the way they come in, that's the way it continue to be over time.
Okay, let's talk about the fact that the cost of projects are going to skyrocket amid inflation. Now, I'm moving to the budget issue now. Let's talk about the fact that what we earmarked at the beginning for this different ministries, departments, and agencies might be a lot lower than what we need to actually implement these projects as at the time that, you know, they kick off. For example, I was just reading through some of these distortions. They're saying that the CBN must deepen trust for its policies to gain root. They're saying that, look, many things like, you know, the costs of projects might skyrocket amid this inflation. Are we going to have a tough time implementing this 2024 budget? Because one minute they're saying, oh, the dollar is now 1,000 naira, and so things are better. But then it's not reflecting on the prices of food and services, not even in the price of premium motor spirit. Many people are saying this is artificial. The federal government has come out today to say, no, they're not touching our foreign reserves or anything. I mean, that this is just happening organically. How does all of this play out in our budget implementation process? And clearly state to us how these distortions might hold us back, or I don't know. I don't know if it's going to play in our favor. I'm sorry, but explain to us.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, apart from the inflation, there's also the exchange rate, you know, component. We only talk about it in terms of what it brings in additional revenue. Mm-hmm. But you forget that, you know, the bulk of, you know, what we use in production is also imported.
Yeah.
So if you are going to construct a road, you import bitumen, you import the equipment you use, and, you know, the different things that you use in constructing that road. If you are going to provide power, all of those equipments are equipment that you bring in from overseas. And of course, it comes at the rate at which, you know, the exchange rate is at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And so, aside inflation, right, the exchange rate also plays an impact or plays a role in the increase in the cost of, you know,
implementing our
procurement, as the case may be. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it's expected that it might be problematic implementing the budget if we do not get the revenues that we so desire. And that's why I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what the revenues look like, you know, at least for the last 4 months, so that we have an idea in terms of, you know, what exactly it is, you know, the trajectory has been since we devalued the Naira, and now, you know, has it led to considerable, you know, increase in inflows, as the case may be, right? Are there areas where there have been inefficiencies, especially with the revenues from the government-owned enterprises that we've been able to address, such that we've seen a significant increase in revenue between then and now? Mm-hmm. That's another case. When I come to the implementation of the budget, of course, during the Senator Nnengi saga, you know, when budget came out with that report with regards to the number of projects that were inserted in the budget, mm-hmm. we did not think that, we felt that these were projects that at this point in time where there's a fiscal tightening, where there's not enough revenue for you to play around with, that we needed to rationalize a lot of those projects, right? They were not projects that were at the heart of, you know, the core policy objectives or development objectives of the country at the moment. Mm-hmm. A lot of these projects were projects that, you know, we should leave to the states to deliver, because the federal government does not have the capacity to monitor the implementation of these projects, and you just provide an avenue for state capture. Mm-hmm. So do you want to, you know, waste resources in that manner, in a way that you cannot account for, in a way that you cannot deliver value, or select a few areas where you can, you know, concentrate these revenues on and provide value whilst we try to solve, you know, the rest of Nigeria's problems over time? These are some rational decisions that the federal government has to make, especially, you know, in times like this where there's no free money everywhere. Mm-hmm. Every kobo counts. Every kobo is needed to lift Nigerians, you know, from the abject poverty that they have found themselves in the last couple of years. Mm. And there's no room for inefficiency. There's no room for mediocrity.
Do you see members of the National Assembly prioritizing what you've said now by removing those frivolous things that they put in the budget, like refrigerators, like motorcycles, as opposed to maybe starting with fixing the Calabar highway. Maybe by prioritizing, primary healthcare centers in some of these areas where there is no presence of healthcare, et cetera, rather than just, do you see that happening? Because, this is A's and A's. And when it comes to budgeting, the legislature plays a huge role in how these things play out. And we saw it also while, the budget, was passed on the floor of the National Assembly. Do you see them prioritizing that?
I've not seen any evidence to that effect. When they met with the president after that whole debacle, the president gave them a nod. And so it seems like, right, there's an agreement between the federal government and, the National Assembly to allow this to continue. Mm. But I mean, with the previous president, he was bold enough to come out to say that these are the problems I've seen with this budget. Mm. There's no way we can fund these things, right? There's no way that this makes sense. This is a budget that we should not be implementing. But still went ahead to sign that budget into law and still backed it up with, financing. Mm. And you know where we are today. And so if the executive itself is not coming out to say that this is a problem, then, the entity benefiting from that problem, what is the,
We're crying more than the bereaved, I guess.
Exactly, to cry more than the bereaved. You are the executive that has come up with a plan on how you want to lift, the more than 100 million Nigerians that are below the poverty line. And you have drafted, the roadmap to achieving that plan. You have a National Assembly that has distorted that plan, and you are willing to just go ahead with business as usual. There's no way that we can...
We're back on A's and A's, and we're talking about distortions that the budget cycle might face because of, the changes in inflation. We're talking about because of the FX and several other issues. And the most important thing here that I've taken from this conversation is, will, again, the Nigerian, the average Nigerian, be... prioritized in the midst of all of these things? Can we be prioritized in the midst of all of this? My guest, Iniabong Usen, who is with Budget, has been explaining to us and breaking it down as to why. Well, in fact, I think I asked a direct question, Ini, to say, will the members of our legislature prioritize us in terms of revisiting these budgets, especially the ones that they put in themselves for their constituents? Will they be able to say, well, let's keep these ones aside and see what would be most interesting and important for the average Nigerian in the interim? But that, I think the question, the answer is in the negative, which leaves me and my listeners a little sad as to who do these politicians prioritize, especially at a time like this where the president has promised us as Nigerians that he's going to do everything within his powers to change the course of things for us, especially our economy. But how can the economy change when things that are not important to us are prioritized as opposed to those things that are important? And then, of course, we've been talking about the issue of debt servicing, which, whether we like it or not, is the biggest elephant in the room. And we have been known to spend our monies on white elephant projects. And then, of course, when it comes down to paying back those debts or servicing those debts, we're spending so much money and getting little done. Well, I want to bring Lagosians into this conversation because of time. Time is not our friend. I've got just about 7 minutes on the clock, and I want to open up the phone lines. And you can ask my guest anything. He can answer you as long as it has to do with the budget, with implementation, with projects, and, of course, statistics. Yes, he does have the answer. Join the conversation, 0201-465-7190. That's 0201-465-7190. If you're listening and watching to us from outside of the country, join the conversation on Skype. It's Nigeria Info FM via Skype. And of course, you could join the conversation on facebook.com/Nigeria Info. We're also live on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. I want to quickly let you know that you can play one play today and make some money.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Lagos. Okay, it's the weekend, all right? The weekend is here already. I don't know about you, but my own weekend is already starting. Lagos weekend is here. And we're still giving out money on oneplay.ng here on Nigeria Info, okay? So, winnings have now gone up, which means that you have more chances to win more. You can win on the Morning Crossfire, What's Up Lagos, Game On Shows, Sunnyside, weekday and weekends. Yes, weekends. I said it. Football Frenzy Show. Every weekend you can win money there too. And every Friday, which is tomorrow, there will be a jackpot of 500,000 naira spread across. So please, why won't you participate?
How many
that?
People can win 500,000?
A lot of people. You can win on Morning Crossfire. I told you, Game On. It's that they just
don't be saying you. I cannot win.
Okay, Marianne, sorry. I know that you cannot win. I'm just telling so that you can tell a friend. It's come out of there. You can never tell. Okay, I know that we cannot play, but they can play, and that's why I'm here to give you the information, Lagos. Go to the website at www.oneplay.ng or just dial *347*880#. Either ways, you do not have an excuse, okay? Whether you're using a smartphone or a phone that's not so smart, but it's very useful too. You can also dial the code. Either ways, your chances of winning are going to stay the same. The more you play Lagos, the better your chances of winning, okay? Don't say I didn't do anything good for you. Thank me later.
All right, let's go to the phone line. 0201-465-7190. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Yeah, Action Lady, good evening.
Yes, Mr. Chris, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Inebom, good evening, sir. You know, he's talking about road project.
Mm.
The Badagry Express Road, for really section of the road. You have seen the state of that road. And this is a road they never commissioned. Still under construction. Then all this money they get for their consequences or so. One of them from out there said, no, I did not get 500 million. I get 250 million. One bought freezer, bought grinding machine. Like you said, must it be to Calabar Road? Why not Kwale to Obiaruku Road? Media must it be your own road?
Well, that's the one that comes to me because I know how I suffer on that road.
I beg in Ebon, please make one. I remember my side, Obiaro to Agbo.
The last time I checked, he is not a member of the National Assembly, he works for budget.
Make him help me supervise because that project they've been abandoning it from Obiaro to Onuabo during Patrick Osakwe. One senator, Patrick Osakwe, he's the one representing us then, although the guy is late now.
Okay,
that road is abandoned. Then Oguashi to Asaba, Uzoro to Asaba. It's abandoned too.
Okay, all right.
Please, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chris, for calling. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts. Oh, I'm so sorry. 0201-465-7190. You could join the conversation. Ask all your questions. My guest, Inebom Usen, is here with us on the show. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm.
This is Messi calling from Accra.
Messi, go ahead quickly.
Is it only the Lagos or any state that can still speak for another state?
The budget covers every state across the federation.
Okay, I want to talk about my own state too. For local government, for Benue State, our road was too bad. You get for Benue State, we don't even have any road from to put down to the local government. We don't have any road, I beg, please. Let them find something to do for our own Benue State, our
All
road.
Right, okay. Just so that people don't get confused, we're not advocating for roads to be built or to be repaired. We're just saying what should be prioritized now that, you know, there's inflation, what the government, different governments, ministries, departments and agencies put as monies for, you know, any project. Those monies are no longer the same. For example, like you go to buy fufu, for those of you that eat fufu, when you go to buy fufu, they said 200 naira before. You go back another week, it's now 250, 300. It's the same thing when it comes to project management. This is what happens. Some of those prices that were set have gone up. And so this become distortions in the budget in itself, meaning that they probably have to start looking at where they can take money and put in other projects, the ones that are most important. So now we're asking, which projects are going to be more important than the others? Which one will be prioritized? Which should they be paying attention to, as opposed to the ones that, I mean, because there are so many projects. And remember the conversation we had the last time about budgeting was that Some of the projects that senators, including the Senate president, were prioritizing were not the ones that necessarily would put a smile on our faces or help us, you know, in the interim. I'm wondering how what a giving me a refrigerator is going to do, especially when NEPA doesn't bring light. How is this going to help my life? These are the kinds of things that we're looking at. So join the conversation. I can take one or two more calls. Hello.
Hello, Miriam.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Yeah, my name is Prince Wyatt. Calling you from Amuwado.
All right, Prince, go ahead.
About Euros, you are talking about, Abby.
Sorry?
I think you are talking about Euros.
No, we're not talking about roads, Prince. I'm sure you were not listening. Sorry about that. Do call us back, 0201-465-7190. I literally just finished explaining ourselves and the conversation that we've had. We only mentioned the road in as an example. Well, we're talking about what our government should prioritize now in the budget, being that most of the things that we actually budgeted for, the prices of those things have skyrocketed. And of course, we're still servicing debts. And those debts also are looking at us with their arms folded in one side of the room, looking at us like, won't you bring money to come and service us? But because all of these things are begging for attention, we're saying what should be prioritized on the budget. Do you understand me? Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good evening. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Sam.
Sam, go ahead.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Go ahead, quickly. You don't have to.
It comes to budget projects like this, and you want to prioritize.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I have to let you go. Your line is very bad. I can barely hear anything. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Parameter is my name. I call from Lekki.
Go ahead quickly. You have 60 seconds.
A question at council. Do we now have to reprioritize after we found out that our budget is not good enough? The consequence of some policy and pronouncement by the government, I want to ask, which one comes first? Is it the pronouncement or the budgeting? Now that we are at the end and we are physically on ground and we don't have funds, I want you to tell us which of our investments primarily, like the Abuja Rail and Obel Rail, can we now benefit from? Or there is none, we are still servicing.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Ini, I think that that's the only answer you can respond to because we have less than a minute. I think you're muted, Ini. You're muted.
Yeah. So quickly, I mean, basically the budget is supposed to be a reflection of those policy announcements, right? They are supposed to work hand in hand. So if the government says it's going to do X, the only way you know as a citizen that is going to do that is if it puts an amount to that project in the budget. Now, projects like, you know, railways, of course, they are very, very important, you know, they are very, very important projects, you know, for the development of any country, especially as regards the movement of goods and services. Look at what it costs people to move, you know, certain commodities in large quantities from the north to the south. You know that.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Our time is fast spent. Let's go on a break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up, okay? Just stay with us.